this could go wrong in so many different ways, because what we really most need is to think about how to organize government for the 21st century, and my fear is that we'll go back and shuffle boxes in some 1950s style and then get 1950s style results, and that's the last thing we need right now.
I mean, everyone's known that there needs to be some kind of reorganization, that there's a lot of crossover here in a lot of organizations, a lot of federal agencies. But it's a little bit, I think, Pandora's box. Everyone hasn't really wanted to open that because, exactly as you're saying, oh my goodness, what if we actually do make things worse?
Well, exactly. And one of the things I always tell my students is never assume that you can't take a bad situation and make it worse. we're wonderfully capable of that. And there are really two points here. One is that if you stop and think about the situation, is it clear that any organizational structure is necessarily going to be a lot better than another, because there just isn't any single problem that any one government agency can control. Collaboration among agencies, the connect the dots problem, is really one of our central problems, and we could end up obsessing over rearranging the boxes and then not get that right.
Mm.
On the other hand, if you look at even the case that the president talked about, the salmon story is very funny, the fact that we have commerce and interior and other departments, in fact, also involved in the question of regulating salmon. But there's a reason for that, because we have one department that regulates fish that come out of the Atlantic, another department that regulates fish that come out of freshwater, and then another department that regulates the fish after they're caught and they're processed. And if you start creating a department of salmon to try to solve that problem, then what happens to the department of cod? You get one fisherman trying to fish the cod out and then having to report to a different agency for the salmon that they're dealing with. You could create a different kind of collaboration problem, and you could end up, again, creating a situation that makes that situation worse.
It also seemed to me that it's all well and good for the president to say that they're going to develop a proposal to merge and consolidate and all those kinds of things, but he only has so much authority. A lot of this goes back to the other side of Pennsylvania Avenue.
Well, the important thing to remember is that almost all questions of structure are really questions decided by Congress. The structure of government agencies is the product of laws that Congress passes, and there's a reason why we have the structures that we have, and it's because often Congress wants them exactly that way. There are committees, there are subcommittees, there are interest groups and others that are aligned behind the structures that we have, and so to change the structure really means picking a fight with all those committees. That's one of the reasons why it was so hard to create the Department of Homeland Security, and why the department's officials now still report to about 80 different committees and subcommittees,
yeah,
because no one wants to give up the jurisdiction.
Well, and in fact, there's this famous chart that shows Homeland Security, and then it almost looks like, you know, one of these weird description of a network, all the different organizations that they report to on Capitol Hill. Part of the organizational structure for agencies is they all fill in on Capitol Hill, different people reporting, and a lot of people want those jurisdictions.
That's absolutely right, because on the Hill, jurisdictions convey power, and with the power comes the ability to be able to shape policy the way that you want it. So if you start messing around with those jurisdictional lines, you're talking about taking power away from committee chairs and subcommittee chairs, and then you're picking very serious battles.
Yeah, we're talking to Donald Kettle. He, of course, the head of the dean of the Public Policy School at the University of Maryland, and he's also author of the wonderful book, The Next Government of the United States, Why Our Institutions Fail Us and How to Fix Them. The five-year freeze, which we had sort of anticipated, five-year freeze on discretionary spending. My sense, and you tell me if I'm crazy, but there were so many caveats there that when you're talking about five-year freeze, you're not actually talking about that much, either in terms of savings or even that much spending.
Well, exactly right. It's one of the great paradoxes of this. It sounds like a pretty big deal until you pull defense off the table, you pull Homeland Security off the table, there's talk about education, then you pull entitlements away as well, and there's not a whole lot of money left, and then when you freeze the amount of increases, which weren't going to be that big anyway, you're not talking about very much money. So it sounds good, but doesn't actually save very much cash. But the implications where it does are likely to be pretty substantial, whether it's helping patch up broken water mains out there or trying to figure out how you get some of the cutting-edge research that you have maybe on the wings waiting to be able to roll out. We're going to have to make some hard decisions, but whatever the five-year freeze is that the president talked about, that's not one of them. It's just not going to get us very much money, and it's a sign of how hard the really big decisions are likely to be.
Talk a little bit about the all the speeches, three of them last night, from not a theatrics, but from a policy, from a public policy standpoint. What, in the end, and we were having this debate, in fact, yesterday. Do these speeches matter? Do these speeches matter? Does this make a difference?
I mean, they really do matter, and they matter a lot. In part because people actually watch this, and they use it as a way of trying to gauge the president and how he's doing and where he's trying to take us. And the rhetoric's important. Some of it has to do with the nature of the reaction and the fact that there wasn't the kind of cutaway shot of Republicans sitting on their hands and Democrats cheering or vice versa, I think tended to create a little bit more of a sense of civility, which is badly needed at this point. But more than anything else for the president at this point, it was a reset point in his administration, opportunity to try to get things going again and to reframe the direction in which he wanted to try to move policy and the idea of the broad vision, not only about jobs, but about the nation's future, and the beginnings of a strategy about how to accomplish that is something that's pretty important in establishing where the president and the administration want to go and to get some of this beyond the day-to-day transactional kind of politics that tends to dominate things otherwise.
So if you were recommending the president, if he were to call you today and say, okay, I've just proposed it, I'm going to reorganize the government, where do you start? Where do you begin? How do you start that plan?
In a lot of ways, the structure ought to be the last step and not the first step. What we really need is to try to figure out how to create a government for the 21st century. That means building collaboration among agencies. It means building high-performance agencies that serve citizens. That means that we've got to have strong information systems, strong performance systems. We've got to have the right kind of employees with the right skills to do performance and information. And then we need the structures to support that so that we need to reorganize, I think, but the structure ought to be the last question and not the first. And we need to start first by trying to think about what it is that we want to do and how to get the job done because I mean, the dirty secret that most of us know is that if you try to start reorganizing agencies, you're not really going to save very much money and that the reason for doing it is maybe to create some different political symbols, but especially to make sure that these government programs work better. So we have to start first with performance, then with information, then with people, and then talk about the structure to try to figure out how best to make that work.
And we've talked about this before during your appearances on the show, and it's a little bit, in government parlance, we call it inherently governmental. What is it that we really want the government to do? What is the government's role? And then let's come up with spending and resources that allow that mission to be accomplished. And we're tending to look at how much we spend and move backwards, it seems.
Right, exactly. Because the question is, why does the President's salmon case matter? And presumably we want to make sure we have good, healthy salmon. We want to encourage people to eat good foods with omega-3 fats in them to try to help reduce their cholesterol. So, okay, that's a good thing. But what should government's role be in that? How should government's role be working out? And how do we then multiply that set of questions out in everything from education to health to defense to homeland security? And we just need to have a serious conversation with ourselves about what it is we want government to accomplish and then how to make sure that we can get the government's job done.
I'm always hesitant to ask folks to look in crystal balls. Do you see that this speech will make a difference? Does this change the dynamics on Capitol Hill or in Washington?
I mean, I think it changes the dynamics in two ways. The first is that it really does help to reinforce these new notes of civility. Makes it just a little bit harder for people to be yelling at each other, and that's probably a good thing. Other thing is that we see the beginnings of a kind of forward-looking peace. We've been struggling for a long time trying to figure out what this new century is going to bring, and we've had the homeland security questions we've struggled with. We've had the economic meltdown. There's still a sense, though, that if you want America's best years to be ahead of us, we have to try to figure out what that's going to look like. And there are the big challenges. You can see at least one vision. There may be others, but we see the beginnings of that debate, and that's going to continue for a long time, and that's just got to be good in helping us shape where it is that we want to be going as a country.